Grace to you and peace in the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen. It was an impossible situation. It had been 40 years. For 40 years, Israel had suffered under the cruel punishment of the Philistines, looting their cities and ravaging their countryside. Severely oppressed, Israel was in a dark and hopeless time. So often, though, those dark and hopeless times can give birth to renewed and strengthened faith in God. God heard the Israelites' repentant cry, and he answered. He did for them what was humanly impossible. He rescued them from the Philistines. God's rescue plan, however, did not begin with gathering an underground rebel force and smuggling in great stashes of weapons. God doesn't do things like that very often. His plan really centered on just one man. One man who would single-handedly rescue Israel without ever touching a weapon of war. More than that, God's rescue plan also started with circumstances no one was expecting. An angel speaking to a barren woman, the wife of Manoah. "Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son," the angel proclaimed. The Lord had done great things through barren women in the past, Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel. Not long in the future, he'd do it again with Hannah, and a little further on with Elizabeth. The wife of Manoah would join their ranks by bearing an important son. His name was Samson. God's Spirit gave Samson incredible strength. He single-handedly accomplished jaw-dropping feats with the jaw of a donkey bone. He was the stuff of legend. Once, while in a vineyard, he was attacked by a vicious lion. Samson tore the lion to pieces with his bare hands. Once, when the Philistines thought they had him trapped at Gaza, he went out at midnight and tore the city gates right off the walls and carried them up on a hill for all the world to see. His final feat was his greatest, though. Though blinded, weakened, and mocked by his enemies, Samson was placed between two pillars in a large building where thousands of Philistines were worshiping their god. And Samson pushed against those pillars, and even though it would cause his death, Samson prayed that God would let him have strength once more to be able to pull the building down on all of those Philistines. The count was around 3,000 of Israel's enemies died through that act of Samson. God's Spirit did great things through him. Samson's life was supposed to be distinguished not only by his single-handed feats of great strength, it was supposed to be also by his single-minded devotion to the Lord. Even before he was conceived, he was set apart to live as a Nazarite, forbidden from eating anything unclean or touching it, from drinking any wine or strong drink, and never cut your hair. He was supposed to be different, to be holy, to be set apart for God's purpose. He was to live a life dedicated to the Lord. And while Samson certainly impressed a lot of people with his strength, he didn't impress anybody with his devotion or dedication to God. Again and again and again, he failed to live up to his Nazarite calling. You have a calling. It came in a place just like that. In holy baptism, you were called to be holy, set apart, to think, live, and act differently from the world around us, a world that opposes and denies God. God's word says, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." How are you doing with that? Do we hold ourselves to that higher standard, or how often are we a little too much like Samson? Would we or do we impress anyone with our holiness? Do we let our daily devotions slide when busy times come? Do we think and act for the benefit of others and their salvation, or are we self-indulgent, seeking our own comforts and our own pleasures? The truth is we've all compromised. And we have too often blended in with the world around us, so much so that sometimes they don't even notice we're here. We're like chameleons in the world, being much more devoted to our entertainment than we are to our sovereign Savior and His holy church. We've often been much more dedicated to our impulses and desires than to Emmanuel. We've been much more committed to concoct our own creations of truth than to follow the way of Christ. Our dedication to living a holy life has not and could not ever impress God. You, me, we all stand guilty before Him. We find ourselves, just like ancient Israel, in an impossible situation from which we cannot rescue ourselves. Where we have abandoned God, God has not, and God will not abandon us. The Lord is more dedicated to you than you ever could be to Him. He has done for you what you could never do for yourself. So in the fullness of time, at a time of great oppression, under the tyranny of sin, death, and the power of the devil, the same God who acted through Samson acted in the world and for the world. With single-minded devotion, He rescued you from your sins and from the devil that you chose to obey. He has single-handedly done what we did not and what we could not do. He has rescued you by His plan. But this plan has been laid down from before the foundations of the earth were laid. So rejoice and be at peace, for nothing will be impossible with God. In the gospel lesson today, God does an amazing and wonderful thing. He speaks His word to the angel Gabriel, to a faithful, frightened virgin named Mary, and there conceives the greatest deliverer. Scripture records, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son." But Mary would not bear a sinful, imperfect, self-serving child like Samson, or like you, or like me, but rather the sinless, perfect, holy child, Jesus. No wonder Gabriel said, "He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. Of His kingdom there will be no end. The child to be born will be called Holy." What child is this? This child is God in the flesh, God walking among us. This is Jesus, the Holy Christ of God. This child, conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, was greater than Samson. His life was truly set apart from the world. He did not waver from His calling and His purpose. Jesus' greatness was not found in His single-handed feats of jaw-dropping strength. His greatness was in setting His divine, holy power aside to single-handedly do everything necessary for our salvation. Satan is a roaring lion, prowling around looking for someone to devour. Jesus had the power to meet that lion face to face and single-handedly rip him to shreds. But for your sake, He allowed Himself to fall into the jaws of Satan and suffer God's righteous judgment in your place. He could have wiped out the world of people who have sinned against Him, but instead He willingly went to Calvary to suffer death in your place. And where we would build walls and gates against Him with our words and our thoughts and our deeds, He tore the gates of hell right off and He carried them up a hill called Golgotha for all the world to see. He let Himself be blindfolded, beaten, and mocked so that He could stretch out His limp, dying arms on a cross and let hell's punishment do its worst to Him. And if that wasn't enough, the greatest feat, the greatest act this child ever did was then to rise from the dead on the third day. He single-handedly won the ultimate victory for you while bringing eternal judgment upon his foes. From new womb to new tomb, this child's whole life was dedicated to making you new, a new creation, filled with the same Holy Spirit that empowered Samson, filled with the same Holy Spirit that overshadowed Mary. So now you can say with Mary, "Let it be to me, Lord, according to your word." When the Lord sends trials, we can say, "Let it be to me, Lord, according to your word." If the cancer can't be cured, we can say, "Let it be to me, Lord, according to your word." No matter what the trial, no matter what the impossible situation, in the depths of despair and discouragement, we can still say, "Let it be to me, Lord, according to your word." For our Lord is great. His mercy is great, and his victory is great. What child is this? This is Messiah who has come, and his name is Jesus, the greatest deliverer. Amen.